name's Aaron. Clint is at Elias's basketball tournament, so he asked me to speak today, and as he was asking me to speak, it kind of shocked me of like, oh man, we're already getting into the Advent season. It seems like it's gone really, really quickly, and I know like when you have kids, they tell you the days are long, but the months are short. And I feel like I've felt that the last this school year. I teach second grade, which is new this year compared to fifth grade, and it's kind of wild. And it just, like, every day just is like, what is happening? But it's Advent time, and I love it. My birthday is Christmas Eve, so I always, like, there's a certain part of me that's like, thank you guys all for decorating your houses for me. Maybe you don't. Maybe you see the wreath and you're like, ah, traditions, like church traditions, I'm kind of burned out on them. We heard this last year and the year before. And I just want to encourage you this morning and as we do this season, of like, give it a chance. Give it a chance this year because the Spirit works in really cool ways. Of He's always forming our hearts. He's always changing things. He has this weird way of working where you could hear the same thing over and over and over again, and the last time you hear it, you're like, I never really heard that. Maybe you heard it, but it never really settled in. So there is something special about rhythms and traditions that it kind of breaks down some of those walls. I guarantee you're in a different spot this Advent season than you were the last one. And so there might be a new word that God has for you. It might not be like a new revelation. I don't want to set your hopes too high that I'm going to change the Advent story and talk about something of Christmas that you've never heard before. But John Piper says it like this in his book, Dawning of Indestructible Joy. He says, what you and I need is usually not a brand new teaching. Brand new truths are probably not truths. What we need are reminders about the greatness of the old truths. We need someone to say an old truth in a fresh way, or sometimes just to say it. Okay, and so this Advent season, we are going to focus on it. I think it's a big part of our Church at Awakening that we have these rhythms that are built in that slow us down, that kind of remind us of these things. It might not be new. Maybe it is new. But I think there is a lot of value. We're going to spend the next 3 weeks kind of talking about preparing, waiting, and rejoicing. And this week is all about preparing. So if you pray with me as we get this started. God, I just thank you that you haven't left us, that you do change our hearts and you grow us and we can be drawn near to you and you can reveal yourself in different ways to different people at different times. And we love you, God, and your Spirit is so amazing. And we thank you for this season. God, we're just really overwhelmed by who you are and how you speak to us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. If you don't know me, I'm not always the most well planned out. I always am for these. Don't worry, I've done a lot of time in planning for this sermon. But in life in general, sometimes I wing it. And so when he asked me to talk about planning and being prepared, I was like drawing on like, okay, what are the times when I felt the most prepared in my life and like the most well planned out? And one of the times was this summer. We went on a national parks trip and I built a spreadsheet. I had a spreadsheet saying what our reservations were going to be, what are the campgrounds, what hookups they had for the trailer, how long of drives it would be in between each place. I was like booked months in advance for a lot of the reservations, and I felt really prepared and planned for that aspect. Then, like, the life and family aspect, and I wasn't as planned and prepared for that. But that's a different story for a different time. And I couldn't really think about how to relate that back to Jesus' birth, so that's maybe not the best example. I haven't had three kids. My wife, Kayla, has had three kids, has birthed three kids, and I played a little part in that. And so I was like, well, that relates to Jesus' birth. But in reality, like, we planned for, like, how to get the baby out of Kayla's body, but, like, we went... I'll stop there. We went to birth class, is what I'm trying to say. We went to a class. They taught us about birth songs and how every woman has one, and that's about all I remember, because I was like, this is wild. And we did it. Well, she did it, and I was in the room. And I caught Nora, and I was like, that's about as far as my planning goes for this one. And we got the baby home, and we were like, what? So I didn't think that was the best example, because we didn't really have that. I didn't have that piece mentally planned for once the baby got home. So then I was thinking, well, a time that I prepare every year, kind of like in a yearly pattern, is as a teacher, I prepare for my class to come. And I was like, well, that's kind of like maybe what the Israelites felt like. They had this list of names from the prophets of who Jesus was going to be. Much like I get a list of, this year it was 22 student names. I don't know exactly what they're going to look like. I don't know exactly how they're going to act. But I plan and I prepare for them in my classroom as much as I can. I make sure that I have the right number of desks. I make sure that I have name tags for everybody. There's pencils. I do a lot of cleaning and organizing and what I think maybe the school year is going to look like and how my classroom will be helpful. And I thought that kind of relates to planning for Jesus a little bit, maybe, probably not nearly as important. But kind of in my mind, I was like, well, that is a time that I plan and I know somebody is coming through that door, but I don't know exactly who it's going to be. And maybe the Israelites felt like that, of they have this Savior, this King of Kings, this wonderful counselor who's coming, but they don't know exactly when. As a teacher, we know when. The kids don't, like, show up on random days. It's all planned out. But for them, they didn't know. They didn't know what to look for, so they had to kind of, like, plan to the best that they could. In the Bible, there's some planning that goes on to some of the stories, and I thought this one was kind of an interesting one. In Joshua 6, 2 through 5, "But the Lord said to Joshua, 'I've given you Jericho, its king, and all its strong warriors. You and your fighting men should march around the town once a day for 6 days. 7 priests will walk ahead of the ark, each carrying a ram's horn. On the 7th day, you are to march around the town 7 times with the priests blowing the horns. When you hear the priests give one long blast of the ram's horn, have all the people shout as loud as they can. Then the walls of the town will collapse and the people can charge straight into the town.'" And I thought that... Ooh, it's early for my voice to be squeaking already. That's a really weird planning. And I liked that story because I was like, well, they had this plan. It's a weird one, but they executed it. And I guess this morning, one of the things to know is everybody's planning looks a little different. How I plan for things is different than how you might plan for something, right? How I plan for a sermon might be different than how Clint plans for a sermon. And that's one of the cool things about God is he's big enough for our coming to him and for his plans. Last example of planning and setting things up is, my guess is that some of you have changed your house around on the inside to get ready for Christmas. We went out and I killed a tree, and then we brought it into our house and we set it up, and it's got all our ornaments on it. Anyway, it's decorated and it's lovely feeling. We have more candles than usual. Kayla and the girls do a great job of kind of like making our home feel warm and cozy. And my guess is that some of you guys, or some of you earlier than others, do that as well. No shame or guilt today, depending on when you set up your Christmas things. But I'm guessing you can relate to that at least a little bit. Of you, you do stuff differently in your house around this season. And the problem is, all of those examples are physical things. And when we talk about this season, it is so easy for me to get swept up in the physical aspects of the Christmas season. Okay? There's concerts, there's parades, there's parties, there's trying to figure out what to get what for who and all the different things. And so this morning, as we talk about planning and Advent, of what makes planning for spiritual things different than planning for physical things. Right? We know how to plan. You guys all plan different ways depending on what you're doing and what you're getting ready for the physical. But there's a spiritual part of the holiday season of Advent that we could miss if we only prepare for the physical part. So I'm going to borrow Piper's list. Again, none of these things might not be new. He's got four things that he says will help us this holiday season. The first one is, your heart must become disenchanted with the praise of man. In John 5:44, it says, no wonder you can't believe, for you gladly honor each other, but you don't care about the honor that comes from the one who alone is God. Somehow this Advent season, we have to break away and try to get away from just pleasing man and seeking men's approval for the things that we're doing. The second thing is that the heart must become disenchanted with the sufficiency of money and things to satisfy the soul. And this is really hard. Clint preached a great series on idols, and a lot of you guys heard that. If you didn't, it's probably online and you could listen to it. But this is a tricky thing, especially in a season where it's so much about things and gifts and comforts. I love that our house is warm and cozy. Our heater that we installed last January is like working. Last year we didn't have one, so it's sometimes a little bit cold. And now our house is warm. And it's like, oh, I'm comfortable. I can sit in my house, and it's a nice, peaceful thing. I have to be really careful not to get wrapped up in all of that stuff, and that doesn't become my focus, that my comfort doesn't become my focus, that my things doesn't become my focus. Jesus modeled this with, like, day one of his life. In Luke 2, verse 7, it says, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. Right? From day one, Jesus didn't have earthly comforts. He had a blanket and a manger. And I need to remember that this holiday season so that I don't just focus on the physical aspects, so that I can focus on the spiritual aspects. The third thing is your heart must long for consolation and redemption beyond what the world can give. The redemptive story of Jesus isn't just for eternity. It's for our current relationships and for our hearts now. Now is a good time to focus on those things. That's what Hallmark teaches us. There's something about this season where there's going to be a reunion and a coming together, and the movie is going to end happily, and there's going to be just a bright, warm feeling around this season. And I laugh and I joke that my parents watch all of those. But there is something about this season of families coming back together, maybe who weren't together before, reaching out, having the ability to maybe reconnect. And so my question is, this holiday season, who do you need to connect with? Who do you need to forgive? And that's a hard one, because the bitterness and resentment of unforgiveness is like a huge weight. And this Advent season, if we're focused on the spiritual things and not just the physical things, I'm here to tell you, Jesus can lift that weight. Okay? Preparing for Jesus spiritually means allowing him into the places of your heart that need redemption and healing. And that's a big ask. That's three things that are really, really difficult. Maybe you come to today, I don't know everybody in here today, and maybe you're coming in today and you're like, it's too much. I'm too far gone. There's too much to do. Now there's this guy up there and he's asking me to do these three things and I feel like I'm already overwhelmed with just the basic necessities of life. But I was reading some of Charles Spurgeon's old messages, and he said that the fact that Jesus came in a manger makes him the most approachable Savior of all time. And I might have heard that before. I don't know. I might have heard it and forgotten it, but it stood out to me this year as I was preparing for this, that you can approach Jesus without some magic key or like ability to go into some sacred place to go do it. Jesus is here for us all, and he's approachable for all of us, and there is hope for all of us. So I get it. It's a lot. The disenchantment of man's approval, the disenchantment of comfort, asking you to like redeem relationships and reconnect with people. Those are huge tasks and probably more than just a day's worth of tasks. But I wanted to share two things that I think tangibly we can do starting today, starting tomorrow. Two things that we can help prepare us for the spiritual. Okay. The first thing is, physically, slow down and have some silence this season. There's noise all the time, and I struggle with that. There's a certain Pandora holiday station that I think is amazing, and I put it on, and I love all the songs because I've been singing them since I was born and been hearing them, and it fills me with joy, and sometimes I just need silence. And again, that's not new. It's just a reminder. Clint's talked about it a lot. I think I've talked about it. Everybody in here understands the importance of disengaging and creating some space in silence. The second thing that I think would be really important this Advent season is to talk about it. Set up some time with your family. Set up some time with your friends to talk about these Advent themes. They've been with the church for thousands of years. The idea of hope is not a new one, but we can stir it up in ourselves by talking about it. And so find a time, if you can, to talk about hope. And what do you hope for? And does it line up to God's hope? Okay. If you were really taking notes earlier, I promised four things from John Piper, and I only gave you three so far. And so I wanted to get back into that because I think the last one is a really, really important one. As we prepare for the Advent season, we need a revelation of God opening the eyes of our heart. As much as I can do to try to prepare and to try to plan and to try to make it happen and generate it, the Spirit has to be involved. Spiritual victory or presence can't happen without the Spirit. And we need that in our lives this Advent season. We can order our lives and do the things to set ourselves up, get the rhythms and the rituals and the patterns, and we can come and meet, and we can sing songs, and we can be in community. And when we do those things, it's really cool. The Spirit shows up. Hey, all the planning, all the preparation, none of that matters without the Spirit. And we're going to take communion. Again, it's one of those kind of traditions that we do every week. And it reminds us that the Spirit can come due to the cross and resurrection. And so as we consider this season, I would encourage you, create some space for Jesus. When he first came, there was no room in the inn. So my question is there room in your life today? Have we gotten swept up in the physical aspects of Christmas that we've kind of neglected the spiritual ones? As we take communion, we're going to do it on your own. When you're ready, you can come up. We've got it right up here for you. Okay. And I want you to really consider that question. Have I created room for Jesus this season? And I also want you to know, none of this is guilt and shame ridden. Like, I'm preaching about it, but I need this reminder just as much, right? Like, we're in this together, and the last thing that I want you to do is be like, ugh, I've only focused on the physical. I'm the worst. No, we just need reminders. And with the Spirit's helping and with his guidance, we can get something more out of this holiday season than checking off we did another year. And we'll put it all back in the boxes and we'll get it out again next year, right? And so that's my encouragement to you today is let's try to get more out of it. Let's ask of Jesus to show up. Let's create space. Let's try really hard to not really just do things to please other people. Let's try really hard to not just focus on being comfortable all the time. Let's try really hard to repair relationships this year. Okay. So we're going to take communion on your own when you're ready. With the question of how have you structured your physical and spiritual preparations? And in Psalm 139, it says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Okay, so we're going to pray. I found a communion prayer for us today that I think kind of sums it all up. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God, the consolation of my past and the redemption of my future. Now I see you, now I receive you for who you are. Thank you, Jesus.